Hello, 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 and welcome to Navigating Preteen Ministry. My name is Sam Meme, and you have found yourself on a full episode. Congratulations, you are listening to a podcast. That is all. I would consider that a good thing, listening to a podcast. I don't know, I always feel smarter after I listen to a podcast. Anyways, hey, welcome to my podcast. This is Navigating Preteen Ministries, where, well, we navigate preteen ministry. Today I wanted to talk about something interesting that I've been experiencing and dabbling around with and how it will impact my ministry. But before that, let's jump into today's shout out. Today's shout out is going to go to the Kids Matter store itself, guys. I used some games the other day. So what happened is, here's the whole thing. I was supposed to come back Sunday for church and have everything ready to go and be ready to hoorah, but COVID happened, and I wasn't there. I wasn't able to make it to church that Sunday, and so in order to make sure that the service was good to go, I was like, I need some extra games, some extra cushions. What do I do? Oh, I go to kidsmatter.com, and I download some games, and I grab two games, and I send them over. They get put on the computer, and everything is super easy. The files are right there. It was perfect, and that gave me a nice little cushion to know that if people in the service ran out of time or they needed extra things to do or whatever, they could. So seriously, go check out Kids Matter. They have more than just games as well. They have curriculum and lessons and all sorts of stuff like that, and it's just a great resource. And Kids Matter has a lot of other things as well, like the Kids Matter podcast network that, you know, I may or may not be a part of. So definitely check that out. And today's story is going to kind of come from my personal life. So, as you know, I'm 22, turning 23 this year, just a few months, and I don't know, 23 feels way older than 22. I don't know why. 22 feels older than 21, but, like, 23, it's like, I don't know, I feel like, I don't know, like I'm an actual adult. You know, it's, like, separated enough from college, but either way, I'm 22 right now, and one thing that I've been looking at is you know, investing in my future, and that is financially. That is not like a metaphor for my spiritual growth, which I'm doing as well, but like physically investing for my future. And one of the things I've been looking at is real estate. You know, buying up a house, flipping it, etc. Everyone's seen that. Oh gosh, who does it? The Property Brothers? Do they do that? I don't know. Chip and Joanna Gaines, that stuff, but like real life, you know. So I've been really diving into that. One thing you may not know about me is I have a I would say obsessive personality, hyper focused. So you can tell what I'm focused on by my YouTube playlist, because I will just consume a ton of information about whatever I'm obsessed with. And right now it's real estate. You know, what do I look for? How do I invest in real estate? Can I just give money to somebody? Do I need to buy this house? You know, all the things about real estate. And if you're not familiar with real estate, you don't have to be for all of this. But this, all of this episode is coming from one thing I saw in a video, and it's really been like rattling around in my brain. But one of the main premises for investing in real estate, if you're going to, is that you want your real estate to gain value, right? Of course, and it's an investment. You want your investment to gain value. Now, how do you get your investment to gain value? Well, naturally, over time, property gains value, right? It'll gain value as time goes on. That's just how it works. As the market moves up, so does your investment. But there's other ways to add value to your investment as well. And that's really what I wanted to talk about today, is adding value to your investment. And in this case, this is a metaphor. Your investment is your ministry, right? You're investing your time. Your job is your investment into your ministry. And one of the things that people in the video said is you have to think outside of the normal in order to create value, right? You have to think outside of the normal. So let's give an example. You have a two-bedroom house with one bathroom, but it's 1,900 square feet. If you don't know anything about real estate, a two-bed, one-bath house would be maybe 1,200 square feet. So that means you have 700 extra square feet. Well, you have to think, well, if I have this 1,900 square feet, maybe I can add another bedroom to this house, therefore increasing its value. You see, when you're given a blank slate, you go into a house, you're given what you have. In real estate, if you want to be good at it, you have to be able to add value to the house. Can you put a porch on the back and add value? What about the shed in the back? Can the shed be turned into an apartment that you can Airbnb, all right? It's all of these things that they think about in real estate. Now, before you think, oh my gosh, Sam's gone off the deep end and he started a real estate podcast instead, no, that is just some regurgitation. But I thought about that and I'm like, yeah, that's really good, investing in real estate. And then the other day I was talking about it, I was like, wait, that needs to apply in our own ministry as well. Where are you going beyond the obvious to add value to your ministry? What do I mean by this? Well, let's think of some examples. For example, I live in a semi-mobile church, is what I call it. Essentially, our church is a community center that we've built, which means that 6 out of the 7 days a week, people from all around the community are in our area. So specifically where my ministry, where 456 preteens meet, are two conference rooms that will split open to make a bigger room, but they're conference rooms where like our local hospital all the time has meetings with some of their team and their staff there. We have a copper company called Southwire. They meet there all the time. With their executives and with teams, and they come in there, and it gives them a space to meet. So essentially, we are a mobile church because all of our stuff goes down every day. Now, I say semi-mobile because we have closets, hard, solid closets that we put all of our stuff in. Other people's stuff doesn't go in there. So it's not like we are, you know, some mobile churches will have a semi-truck where they just load everything on and off each day or each week. But for us, we do have a permanent area for our stuff. We just have to unload it and load it every day. So if I'm viewing this like real estate in my area, I'm thinking I am just a mobile church. So that is that. But how can I add value to my ministry being a mobile church? And here's the thing, you can go about this in several different ways when thinking about how to create and add value to your ministry. So, like I gave the example, we are a mobile church. How do I create and add value as a mobile church? Well, one, I have the opportunity now to allow people to serve. One of the big missions in our church is to get people to serve. And I love the way we do it because sometimes we have jobs that could be replaced or removed. For example, one of the best ones is in our tech booth. We could make it smaller, but if we made it smaller, we are essentially taking an area that somebody serves and, you know, works for the Lord and removes it. And so instead, we don't want to just yank that out from them. We want to allow them to serve in a way that grows. And obviously, you know, we're not just going to have a completely useless position for somebody to do whatever they want in, right? But we create our positions and we don't just remove them because we want people to be able to serve. And so we'll find other ways for them to serve before we remove a position that isn't actually totally necessary. So, for example, one of the ways I can add value to my ministry is if I have people helping set up and break down, that is adding value to the ministry because it's allowing people to serve in my ministry, give their time to the Lord, essentially, and help grow the relationship. And at the same time, now that's a tool for me because it is not only me setting up, but now I can bring people in to set up, and they don't even have to be involved in my ministry, right? And I can slowly introduce them to the idea. One of my favorites that happened recently is we had a couple that weren't totally like interested in totally jumping into kids ministry. They kind of wanted to do the check-in, and so this was for our All-Stars, which is K-3. So our K-3 pastor was like, hey, yeah, we'll get you doing check-in, and then if you want to just come hang out with the kids for a few minutes and, you know, slowly introduce them. And so the K-3 pastor, Andrew, saw the value that could be added by slowly introducing them. And now they are there almost the whole service, like loving on these students and honestly crushing it. They're great volunteers. So when I look at what's potentially an obstacle, right, this gap in my ministry, this need for somebody to help set up, I can either do it and set up, or I can see and create the value, and now I have opened up a volunteer position, and it is a position that I can recruit maybe some uncertain or unsure volunteers and slowly introduce them into the ministry. Hey, come help me set up in the mornings on Sunday. You're a morning person. You're an early bird. You are already up anyway. come join me, we'll set up, and you know what, if you want to go to service, great, but hey, can you help hang out with these kids for just a minute? You know, just slowly ease that in. And I have created value in my ministry by getting people involved in ministry, and you know just as well as I do that serving in ministry is not just a take, right? We're not just taking from people, but serving is a giving thing to others. Another thing is, how can we add value to maybe our environment, right? Our area is literally some like white walls, some carpet, and a stage. How do I add value to that? Well, what if we created mobile decorations? And that's exactly what we did. I love the church because we have these big banners, and you flip them around and they're bright and they're colorful, and you flip them around and they're very neutral and professional. And so you can go from a professional meeting in the meeting room to a bright, fun, energetic area. And we have added value by the little things, little mobile decorations, little pop-up stations, carts, and all of that. And we have added value that allows us to both offer ministry of the church and ministry of the community center. So when I'm talking about these things, I want you guys to be running this through the filter of your own ministry. The point of this podcast, in this episode, is to get you to start thinking about your roadblocks and how you can turn your roadblocks into value, right? In real estate, a giant empty room may look like a roadblock, especially if it's run down and dinky and the carpet is gross and the walls are peeling and it looks terrible. You're like, ugh, I got this extra space I have to deal with. But in reality, that extra space is value. It is money. It could raise the value of the house. So what roadblocks are in your ministry, and how can you turn them into value? How can you turn them into whatever? Is your space too limited, right? Do you not have enough space for you to do everything that you want? Well, what are the solutions? What can you do? How can you add value to your ministry? Maybe you want to revamp your ministry. You have inherited a ministry that is, it looks like a 80s nightmare happened in your ministry, and you're really not sure what the painting is on the wall, and it's kind of scary, but it might be Noah. Who knows? How can you add value? Do you have the budget to redo it? If you're like most churches, probably not. So then what? How can you get people involved? Do you have some creative people in your ministry and enough money to go buy a few buckets of paint? Or maybe you got a contractor in your ministry who just happens to have, and you know, some leftover paint from a project that we're working on, right? How can you add value? Because a lot of times we will see an obstacle, we will see something in the way, and our first reaction is, I can't get through that. And instead, we need to be thinking like a real estate investor and thinking, how can I turn this, which is my situation, how can I turn my situation into a beneficial situation? Or how can I turn this thing I'm dealing with into a solution or into something that will help me? So I want you guys to, like I said, sift this through your own personal ministry context, okay? And as always, be practical with it, okay? If you're driving, don't do this, please. But if not, get your phone out, get a pen out, and list some of those brick walls that you feel like you're facing in your ministry. Is it your space? Is it the leadership around you? Is it your lack of volunteers? Is it your too many volunteers and you don't know where to put them? Is it your curriculum? Is it your lack of curriculum? What can you do to turn those obstacles into value, to turn what's slowing you down into something that will speed you up? That is all I've got for you guys today. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope that you guys are just as excited as I am about being back, because I definitely miss doing this. I enjoy these so much, and I hope you guys do as well. With that, I will see you guys next week. Bye.